remain standing and join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Hear the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hooray for God.
Hear the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hooray for God.
Here is the good news. There is an abundance of food for the hungry, of wine for the thirsty.
Hooray for God.
The risen Christ is our provider, our refuge, our peace.
Hooray for God.
Now join me in the opening hymn this morning, number 302. Christ the Lord is risen today.
To open open our eyes that we may recognize you, to unlock our hearts that we can embrace you, and enliven our faith so that we may live boldly before you, the risen one among us. Amen.
Let us pray. Yeah, we can turn the lights down today. If y'all promise not to go to sleep. I guess that burden's on me, right? Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day and this opportunity to come and experience your word in this safe and holy space. We pray your spirit be upon us now as we listen for what you might be calling us to do, what you're saying to us. May our hearts and our minds be open to that word. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask you the same question I asked Robert and Reed. I'm wondering if there's ever been a movie that you watched that when it got to the end of it, you were disappointed, not in the story being like a failure, but because you wanted more. You wanted just a little bit more of the story. It was so good. Or maybe reading a book, and when you got to that last chapter, you just didn't want it to end. You wanted it to continue just a little bit further. Wanted to hear just a little bit more story. It was so good, you just wanted more. For the last 3 weeks now, we've been in John's Gospel. And we've done that. We picked it up on Easter morning, and we talked about it last week, the resurrection experiences of Mary Magdalene. And we're going to do some more of that today. John's Gospel covers 3 years in the life and ministry of Jesus. And in the beginning, that's how it begins. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the way John introduces his gospel, his prologue, if you will, is to say that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came and dwelt among us. And when the Word came and dwelt among us, he went to Cana, and he turned water into wine at a wedding reception. He spent a night with Nicodemus talking theology and trying to explain to Nicodemus about what it means to be born again. He went to a well in Samaria and befriended a woman there and spent time with her and her community. And he walked on water. He said, I am. Throughout John's Gospel, he said, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he raised Lazarus back to life. And at the Last Supper, he washed his disciples' feet. And then he was tried and crucified and died. And at the end of the story there comes chapter 20. It's the resurrection chapter. And it begins with Mary Magdalene discovering that the tomb is empty. And she runs back and gets Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loves. And they come and they too see that the tomb is empty and they go back to town. But Mary stays and there she sees an angel, two angels in fact, inside the tomb. And they ask her, why are you weeping? He's not here. And she doesn't recognize Jesus. She thinks he's a gardener until he calls her by name. And then she rushes back to tell the others, I have seen the Lord. That night, we hear in John's Gospel, chapter 20, that night they too get to see the Lord. And Jesus comes and appears to them in a locked room, in an upper room, and breathes his Holy Spirit upon them. And they too can now say, I have seen the Lord. All that is except for Thomas. And as chapter 20 draws to a close, 8 days later, the scripture says, Thomas gets his opportunity too. He's with the others in that upper room when Jesus again appears to them. And then the story ends like this. Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence. Signs that aren't recorded in the scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. This story at the end of the story, if you will. Because see, we think that everything is done. Everything is wrapped up. We hear these words and we read these words and you can practically hear the orchestra playing in the background, right? The music's escalating as you get to verse 31 and then the credits start to roll. The movie is now over. The story is over. But when we get to that point, we want just a little bit more. We'd like one more story about Jesus. And it's as if the writer of John's Gospel recognizes that. He's given us just enough to want just a little bit more. To give us one more story, one that serves up all the images from throughout the gospel lessons. One last story. Just to make sure we've got the whole story, the complete picture. So one more unforgettable episode is shared. And it's John chapter 21. So after we think we've come to the end of the story, there's one more chapter. And it's the final chapter in John's Gospel. From John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, to begin with, hear the Word of God. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize him. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And they said, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. And there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This story after the story, this one more little episode that John feeds us, begins with Simon Peter, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and some others going fishing. And when we hear this story, because remember, he's giving us something that brings to mind images from the entire gospel account. He wants to make sure we've got the whole picture now. When we hear the story about the guys going fishing, we remember that that was their occupation. This is what they did before Jesus called them. And it's that calling them. We remember that when Jesus called Simon and Andrew and James and John, it was practically right out of their boats. He said, "Follow me, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of people," right? This is Jesus talking to one of the disciples. He says, "No, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me." There's a whole sermon just in that one little cartoon. Literally, I want you to follow me. When we remember this story of Jesus and the disciples going fishing, and we remember that this is part of their call story, it's also our call story. Because Jesus calls us to be followers of him, to follow him in the course of our day-to-day lives, in our jobs, with our families, with our responsibilities, in our relationships. All of these things, we're called in them and from them to go about doing God's work in the world. So these followers of Jesus go fishing. They fish all night long and they get nothing. They get nothing. All night long they fish. These are professional fishermen. They fish all night long and they catch nothing. It is not fruitful. Not fruitful, that is, until Jesus tells them what? Cast the nets on the right side. Right? Cast the nets on the right side. Don't worry, folks. They'll never think to cast their nets on this side. As Jesus instructs them, they cast their nets on the right side. And when we hear that, it stirs us to remember that the disciples, these professional fishermen, never caught a fish without Jesus guiding them. Without Jesus telling them where to cast their nets, they never caught a fish. And we hear that, and we remember that, and realize that as followers of Jesus, going about the work that he has entrusted us to do in this day and age, that we need him to guide us and to lead us. When we hear that none of the disciples recognized Jesus in this his third appearance to them after resurrection, we shouldn't be surprised. Mary encountered him in the garden and thought he was a gardener. This is Rembrandt's portrayal of that scene. You see Jesus with his big hat on so he doesn't get too much sun. He's got some sort of tool stuck in his belt. He's carrying a shovel in his hand. Mary didn't recognize him. And neither did Cleopas and the other disciple, who walked somewhere between 4 and 5 miles with Jesus from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him either. This is one theory. Jesus may have been traveling incognito. We don't know. So we shouldn't be surprised, though, that the disciples in the boat, these guys who had been with him for years and years, like Mary and like Cleopas and the other disciple, for years and years, 3 years now, they had walked with Jesus wherever he went. They had heard his stories. They had learned from his lessons. They had talked with him. They had worked alongside him, just like us, right? Just like us. And lest we think that that would never happen to us, that Christ in our midst, we wouldn't recognize him. Remember Jesus' warning to us, his forewarning, laid in Matthew's gospel. He tells the story about the king who, in judgment time, separates sheep and goats. You remember that story? And the people ask, well, Lord, we don't remember ever seeing you. He said, well, do you remember seeing the person who was hungry? The person who needed clothing, the person who was homeless, the person who was sick, the person who was in prison, in a prison or in their nursing home or in their side of their home. That was me. And let me ask you, when you saw them, did you feed them and visit them and heal them? Did you clothe them? Did you house them? When Peter does recognize Jesus with some help from the disciple whom Jesus loved, he jumps out of the boat into the water. And surely when we hear that, we remember that this isn't the first time Peter jumps out of the boat to go to Jesus. Peter took that leap of faith when Jesus invited him to come and walk on the water. Peter's early attempts to walk in water with Jesus displayed an inadequate amount of faith. He comes with his life preserver, just in case. I think we're probably like this. When Jesus asks us to jump out of the boat or to step out of the boat, to get out of the box, color outside the lines, to get our feet wet, we do so still holding on to a lifeline, just in case. This story reminds us and calls us to trust in Christ, to have faith in him when we get out of the boat, when we jump into the water. And yes, we know that there's risk involved and it may be dangerous and the water might be over our head. But if that's what he calls us to do, then we have to trust him and take that leap of faith. When we hear that Jesus fed the disciples bread and fish, you can't help but remember that he had done so once before in the feeding of 5,000, that miraculous feeding, where he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from a kid's lunch and turned it into a banquet and a feast for 5,000 people. Here's the next guy in line standing before Jesus. Fish and bread, that's it? Seriously? Even back then, there's one in every crowd, isn't it? What does this episode, this lesson teach us? Christ's abundant generosity is not just something from the past. It's what's happening in this world today. It is a part of the present. this epilogue, this story after the story, gives witness to the fact that the risen Christ continues to bless us and to feed us. On Friday evening, after leaving the roofing project and on my way to Richmond, I was overcome with this sense of joy for my being blessed by the roofing project that we had completed earlier in the day. And it didn't have anything to do with my having given to that project, my having put down shingles, my having done something for somebody else. It had everything to do with being surrounded by people and a church community that responded in love by the giving of money and materials and food and supplies and their very presence to do this for somebody else. I was tremendously blessed by that outpouring of generosity and love. And that's what Christ is doing in the world today, continuing to bless us and feed us. And then there's this. Chapter 21, this story after the story continues with verses 15, 16, and 17. After they had finished eating their breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." And a third time Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." When we hear Christ ask Simon Peter three times, son of John, do you love me? We can't help but remember that Christ had predicted that Peter would deny him three times. We can't help but remember that heart-wrenching story of Peter having actually done so. This part of the story after the story reminds us that it's far more important than Peter's denials is Christ's mercy. Far more important than mistakes is Christ's grace. See, Christ willingly entrusts his church and his ministry to Peter and to me and to you. And we, like Peter, are broken and struggle. We're people in need, far from perfect, who vacillate between being indifferent and enthused, self-serving and generous, dejected and joyful, hopeless and hopeful. This summary story, the story after the story, at the conclusion of John's Gospel, reminds us and tells us and encourages us that the story of Jesus Christ is continuing today. This is from the end of chapter 20. Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. See, just when we think the story's over, just when we expect the music to increase and the credits to roll, just when we get to the end of the book, there's one more story. One more story that includes all of the parts of Jesus' story. His call to follow me. His stepping forward to lead us and to guide us. His being with us and calling us to trust him, to step out of the boat in faith, to get our feet wet, trusting in him, to be challenged by him, and to be assured that Christ lives again to feed us and to bless us. See, friends, this one more story that's not contained in the scroll that John has set us up to hear is your story. It's the story that's not captured in the gospel, but it is. Because it's Christ living again today, continuing to live. Jesus lives again. That's what the kids say, right? That's what resurrection means. Jesus lives again. And Jesus lives again through each one of us. His story becomes our story, and our story is part of his story. And it's the continuing narrative of the good news of Jesus Christ by which we are blessed and become a blessing for others. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.